It's the Opix Podcast, baby. Glad you tuned in. Got your host, thank me later, and you're stupid to win. Might become an obsession as soon as you begin. Start out king of the street, then lock in iconic in. Welcome to Offland. Grab your Opix, man. On your way in, the door hit you with $4,000. Get to buying and gripping, then to selling and flipping, over to moving and shopping.
Welcome, fellow Weblanders, to another exciting episode of the Opix Podcast. I am your host, Too Stupid to Win. It's the first episode of the week, and I am joined by T. Davis and B. Dag. They have a great episode lined up for everybody this evening. This was recorded on February 28th, going into March 1st of 2021. This is episode number 45. They'll be talking about the Brooklyn collections that will be released here soon, or that were released, and the Brooklyn release that will be showing up. We also have the interview with Sanyika, the proud owner of Grand Central Station. Nice job, T. Davis, lining that one up. If you have not checked out the episodes from last week, we had $500 Tiffany's tie pin with T. Davis and B. Dak. We had LG Doucette from the First Mint on for special edition Upland Top Shot, where we talked everything about Top Shot and the crazy market there is. Also, the weekly episode, we had Brooklyn, baby. The release is coming. So excited for that. A lot of people plotting their strategies. Very excited. We didn't get too much into the strategy there, but the collections weren't released yet, but that's why we have this other show here, so they can get all about it. Don't forget, our theme song is done by the one and only Mars Utah, and all numbers are provided by dailyuplander.com, and we do use information from Opix World. Also, the views, information, and opinions expressed on the Opix Podcast are those solely of myself, TML, aka Thank Me Later, T. Davis, B. Dag, and any guests of the podcast, and do not necessarily represent those of Upland Me, Inc. We are not employed by or provided insider information from the Upland team. All discussions about properties to buy, sell, collections to pursue are not financial advice, and please do your own research first. Very excited for this episode, so we'll turn it over. And it's live from Little Italy with the New York Minute, Fresno Update, and whatever we're calling Clovis. T. Davis and B. Dag, how we doing tonight?
Thank you, Too Stupid, and welcome, listeners, to the Upix Podcast. My name is T. Davis. I'm joined by B. Dag. How you doing today, B. Dag?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, thanks, T. Davis. I'm kind of excited this week, so let's see what we got going on.
Hey, what's that accent I hear there?
I don't know. Let's do this thing, You know? Make some of it, eh?
Yeah, and that must mean that we're getting ready to talk about some Fresno. What do we got in Fresno and Clovis this week?
Fresno, man, Fresno's hot. Fresno's so hot that it's sold out.
Yeah,
Fresno's done. Bye. Yeah. See you, Fresno.
All right. Well, what do we have in place of Fresno? You
know, somebody said about Clovis. You know, it's Clovis. It was on a map for like 2 weeks, so it's no longer Clovis. It's Clove was. Okay, Brooklyn. What do we got, Brooklyn? Yeah. Let's go Brooklyn. Go Dodgers.
Yeah. Brooklyn is set to release Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific. In the first wave, they've split it up to accommodate our global player base, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then the second wave will be 9 p.m. Pacific. That gives both sides of the world an opportunity to get in there and grab some properties. And we've seen them do this before, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And if we were really prepared, we would have given that in UTC as well. But hey, what are you going to do?
They will split the properties roughly in half. I would say that's the way I recall it. So we already have a 50-50 split between FSA and non-FSA.
That's right, because this is a new kind of city for us. This is that mid-tier that we haven't gotten yet. San Francisco is a high tier. Clovis is a low tier. Manhattan is high tier. And now Brooklyn is a mid-tier. So don't go thinking it's all Fresno and Clovis, right? This is going to be a little more expensive.
It is.
I mean, it ain't no San Francisco, but it'll be okay.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how the FSA buyers respond to the not only the increase in the cost on properties, right, but where they're at with their markup percentages. And we'll talk about that a little more when we get into collections. Yeah, okay. But
because they got a handicap too, and we'll bring that up.
Right,
I suppose.
Right, right. But I did see comparisons being made to those 500 UPIX parcels that they released in Clovis.
Yeah, the last minute kind of, oh yeah, guys, I guess we got to give you something.
Yeah, and you know, although I would love to see our FSA players raking in, you know, 10, 20, 30X on their flips, I don't know that that's going to be, I don't know if the market is going to support that, but we'll have to see. We did already get a good idea of what kind of range Brooklyn is in as far as the base price of the neighborhood. I broke out a spreadsheet and posted it to the NYC channel in the main Upland Discord server, and we were looking at you know, base prices between 480 UPIX per up square, which for comparison, Presidio Heights, I believe, in California is in San Francisco is a 480 UPIX per up square neighborhood. So that will just give you a bit of a frame of reference of where the ceiling was before collections, and the floor was around 60, which that's just something new. I don't know that there are any 60 UPIX per up square in San Francisco.
No, I think the, what is it, shopping district or whatever it's called, that was down to 80, but I don't recall any 60s. And, you know, this price range, it's similar to San Francisco, you know, between maybe not down to 60, but the 80 up to 480 is right there with San Francisco. But the big difference is there's a lot more properties on the low end of the base price than there are on the upper end.
Right, by a lot. There were quite a few 60 and 70s and 80s.
Like a dozen, a couple of dozen of those.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how quickly properties get bought up at that price point and the markup percentages that we see. I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, yeah, whole new market, whole new marketing as well.
Yeah, so this podcast is it's a special one, not only because it's, I think, our second before a city is opening. It must be us, right? It must be.
What? Oh, yeah, completely, man.
Yeah, it's got to be us that is.
We open cities.
We open cities, that's right. We'll have our first guest interview on our podcast today. We have Sanyika, who joined Upland just recently and came in with a enormous splash, purchasing Grand Central.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, Grand Central Station. And so we're going to go ahead and bring him on. Sanyika, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
happy,
man.
To be here.
Hey, great, great. So tell
it's
us.
It's kind of cool to have a guest. Sorry for interrupting. That's almost like getting 100 followers on your Twitter account. So we got our first guest.
Yeah.
We're hitting the big time, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Let's blow this away. Let's blow this hot dog stand. Eh?
Yay. So, Sanyika, how did you hear Upland?
So I heard about Upland. I first started looking at Earth2.io. Kind of sad to have started that way, but then just Googling, looking for a way to, I don't know, find some sort of way to make Earth2.io actually viable and sort of solidify the purchases that you make in there. So I just Googled Earth2.io with NFTs, and Upland came up, and yeah.
Wow. So you were looking for Earth2 alternatives. Am I understanding that correctly? Or searching exactly. Earth2 and Upland. That's great. I love to hear that.
But without throwing your money right into the ether and never, and I don't mean the token. I mean just throwing it into the netherworld and never seeing it again.
Yeah. How
you were done with that part? That? Yeah.
Yeah.
I personally, and I don't want to talk too much about it, but I was not impressed with anything about Earth2. But obviously, I'm biased. So yeah, that's actually pretty funny to hear that the, I guess, whatever little bit of popularity they had pointed you directly to Upland. So tell me next, what made you buy a $21,000 NFT?
As your first purchase, even. Just boom! Hey guys, Strange Station, I got this.
Well, this is sort of later knowledge that I got, but it solidifies why I did it. The New York Stock Exchange went for $23,000, which I would argue that the train station is, I'm not sure exactly what they plan to build there, but if they build something huge, then the train station would be arguably the second most used property in New York, which hopefully will be a pretty big hub as we get going and they grow around New York.
Yes, definitely valid reasoning.
Right. And so if I'm not mistaken, this might be news to you, but I think it's what you build there and what you choose. And the reason why I know this is Chica86, my fiance, is a terminal owner in San Francisco. And, you know, they have a little group in the fan server where they just coordinate on, you know, train terminal related things. And one of the other owners, Sturz Merlin, is looking to participate in the business beta. And that was one of his questions. What, you know, can I put my business on my train terminal? And the answer it was, yes, it's no different than any other NFT parcel in Upland. So yeah, man, the opportunities are there for you and the potential is pretty limitless. I mean, it's whatever Upland gives you as far as mechanics and what you can build and what you can do, that's wide open for that train terminal.
Well, it's kind of double awesome in this case too, because a train terminal will always have that extra functionality. Very few other properties are actually going to have that. I don't even know. We haven't heard if New York Stock Exchange will ever have extra functionality to it, although we would hope it would. But being able to bring in all those train fares, not only that, but potentially have a business on it as well, is just, that's cake, man.
Yeah, it's a killer property for sure. So tell me, how are your visits? Are you seeing a lot of usage out of it thus far? I think I took a look already, and I believe it's had like 500.
I haven't been able to look at the overall total. I'd be interested to see, honestly, if there's a way, if I could view the total number of visits that it's had. But I've been trying to check in on it at least daily, and it's repeatedly been 99 plus. I know I spoke though with Block Unchained about finding some way to pool the money into a giveaway for the
nice.
Ideally for FSA or newer players.
That's awesome, man.
That's cool. Yeah. To buy the train station, and not only that, but to set your fee to 20 and publicly announce, yeah, man, we're going to keep it at 20. I mean, and now you're telling us you want to give the money away, dude, who are you?
I'm just hoping it pushes the, I just remember getting here on the airlines was iffy. There's some high fees there. That's all I have to say.
I love your community-based mindset on that.
Right, man. I'm a big fan of that. I think those who know me would say that makes me happy hearing that.
For sure.
And so just because you asked, and I do happen to have Upland open, so if you go into the menu, the three-dot menu in the middle, bottom, and you click on the leaders tab, and then you'll see visitors there, right? You see leaders, visitors, completed collections, uplenders referred. And then the blue text, which is it's a clue kind of with the Upland UI. Blue text is almost always a hyperlink. So that means if you click it, it will do something else. And so the word today is in blue text. So if you click that, it opens up a little window and it gives you the options of today, last week, last month, and all time. And so if I click on last week, it changes your total to 709 visits in the last 7 days, which is pretty incredible. It's almost more than double the next player, which would be Kent. And I believe Kent and Thank Me Later and Zendra, all of those underneath you, are also all terminal owners of some sort, whether it be a plane terminal or train terminal, etc. So yeah, man, you're killing it.
We'll see. Hopefully that ends up back into the FSA players' hands.
Yeah. So
they can get into the mid-tier that's opening up in Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what are your plans in Upland? Do you have any plans yet?
Well, I'm interested in what you're mentioning about the business aspect. If I could get something running out of Grand Central Station, my sister's a graphic artist, and
nice.
That's sort of what originally got me into NFTs. So yeah, it would be interesting to see if I could somehow, I know they're going to do a 3D render they mentioned of Grand Central Station. If I could actually put her graphic art up in Grand Central Station, that would just be incredible to
me. Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, that would be insane. Yeah, what an amazing idea and opportunity. That's crazy.
It's crazy to me that that's an opportunity that didn't get snapped up before I got there.
Right, yeah. Well, so Ryan Amino was the player who purchased the New York Stock Exchange, and I know that I've seen him in and out of Discord, and I follow him on Twitter. I don't know how if he saw that it was going up for sale. I do know that some of the other power players in Upland were all considering it. I think you just beat them to it. I don't think it was going to make another drop to the next tier down. I think what the next drop would have been, they were dropping it by 2 million each time, I believe.
It would have been 21, yes.
Yeah.
From what I recall.
Well, it would have been 19, I think, next.
It would have been 19 the next month, I believe.
Yeah okay.
Yes, and Yika arrived in New York, if I'm not mistaken, like maybe 20 of the hour. And so they started it, I believe, at maybe quarter after 5 p.m. Or it might have been at the top of the hour. But I remember looking at the blockchain to see how things unfolded, and I was kind of following it all in Discord. And when you arrived there, it was like, correct me if I'm wrong, there was like maybe 20 minutes before they were going to drop it again, and nobody had purchased it up till that point. So it was logical to wait for the next drop rather than spend an extra 2,000. Is that right?
Exactly. I almost did it. There's at least one other player floating in the property next to it that I had also traveled to. I don't know if they were trying to watch who purchased it or if they just happened to randomly be there, but I was a little worried that they were going to buy it right as it went down to 21 right before me.
Right.
And the game sort of hesitated when I bought it, so I was a little worried that, or no, it was that they were a little late dropping the price, so I was wondering if they had dropped it and somebody already purchased it before me.
Right, and it looked like you fiat in 10,000. You got 10 million UPEX twice, and then a million UPEX. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So I got a question for you. If you would have brought all that money in and somebody snapped that out from under you, what would you have done then? After you picked your job off the floor.
I would have just sat on that money until they released Texas. That was honestly my plan.
Yeah, really? Wow.
There was another user who messaged me before when I thought it had already been sold. And they're like, well, what are you going to do now? And I told them, I'll just wait, I guess.
Wow.
Oh, man.
For the record, we try not to call them users because that's, associated with drugs. While this very well might be, we try to respect ourselves by calling us, what was it?
Addicts.
No, players. Oh, yeah. Addicts. Whatever. Something like that. So, yeah, it's, just a higher level user.
Right. So, Sandy, you could tell me, so what do you have your site set on for Brooklyn? Have you got the opportunity to see the collection release was today? What piqued your interest there?
I was a little sad to see Coney Island not higher tiered.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people were. Yeah. Coney Island was it's a Purple Collection Limited has a 2,800 UPIX one-time reward. It requires three properties, as I believe all of them do. Is that correct, B-Dag?
Correct.
Except for the ultra rares, but I think everything is three properties, which is...
There's one that requires four, but yeah, it's a three. That puts it on par with Mission Street. I don't know how many properties are in Coney Island, but Mission Street is also a purple collection with three properties and a 2,600 UPIX one-time bonus. It's pretty close to that. So if you feel Mission Street is in the right category and Coney Island is similar to Mission Street, well, we got something. Otherwise, maybe not.
Right. And we got a 1.82x multiplier on your collection there.
Right, where Mission would be 175, so it's still pretty well within range of Mission Street in general as a collection.
Right. So what else did you see, Sanika? How do you feel about Dumbo?
Well, I know you've mentioned Dumbo to me before. The boost is really nice on Dumbo. That was honestly where I expected to see Coney Island.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I could agree.
I was very interested to see the police stations as an ultra rare collection and with a delayed release on them.
Right. So if I'm not mistaken, they had announced in Discord that two collections would remain locked, but they didn't say which two. And, there are only two. So there are only two ultra rares. They said two ultra rares would remain locked. So it sounds like all of the ultra rares are going to be locked, and it's likely to keep them as rewards for events like they have done with the fire stations in Fresno. Would you agree with that, B-Dag?
Yeah, that seems the case. And then Fulton murals and fire stations in Fresno were the giveaway items. And then last week, or was it the week before? I'm so lost anymore. Keep time with a calendar. They released all the Fultons into the wild. So those got all chewed up. So we got a few fire stations and some murals. So I would agree. This is fodder for more giveaway stuff to be able to make that mechanic last a lot longer.
Yeah, man, that's what I expect. And so what about the other rare collections? So we have Bay Parkway is the other one. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, I've got data on all these already. I just don't know how many properties are in them. I mean, I guess based on the color, you could expect to be on par with other collections. We did not mention Main Street as the ultra rare.
Oh, there's
two ultra rares in Brooklyn. Yeah, there's a police stations, and I'm sure with a little Googling, you could find out how many of those are. Main Street, which is also in Dumbo, is two blocks long and has six properties.
What?
Yeah. And being ultra rare and in Dumbo, so it's an ultra rare crossover. So we're probably looking at, I don't remember how the math is going to work on this, but it's going to be more than a 21 buy markup on those Main Street properties. It's going to be
right
through the roof. So this is like San Francisco's Painted Ladies. There's like seven of those.
Well, yeah, in terms of rarity.
I
think we could probably get one of our listeners or somebody to ping us after they've listened to this and go find a Manhattan rare, ultra rare combo and work the math backwards to tell us exactly what type of multiplier that is. I feel like that would be the logical way to do it, correct?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm looking through here. There's Wall Street, but Financial's not. Financial's just exclusive. We got, I know there's some crossover.
Yeah, wait, Billionaires Row, Skyline
yeah.
would be one.
Right, there you go. Boom.
So, yeah, we could probably math that one backwards and figure out exactly how that will work out. But being that they're not going to even be unlocked, it's somewhat of a moot point. But
sure, it's just tickling your brain. That's about it right now.
Sorry, but...
Yeah.
You mean like which rare would it cross over with?
Which one? Main Street?
Yeah.
Main Street crosses over with Dumbo.
Okay, sorry.
So yeah, it no, would be fine. A street. It would be a well. It's essentially a what? It's a street collection. That's it's a street ultra collection. Rare. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Which those are usually the custom ones, but in just in this case, I guess this is the first time. Well, no, because the now Pain Ladies is in a street, right? Are there any other ultra rare streets? I don't think there are.
There was. Go for it, Sunyuka.
How does that affect minting price? I was just, especially with the, I know Main Street, they said it would mint at 7.4, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So if I bought it at 21, does it then mint at 21? So with these properties, if they're given it at a value, is it minted at the price that they calculate based on the multipliers that...
Correct.
Like the collections multipliers for it?
Yep. Yeah, so the smallest one that I'm looking at right now, it's property size 10. That'll make the math nice and easy. It's 40 Main Street, 40 Main
Street.
Yeah,
that's the same one I just clicked on.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, we can't see the Epic's price they've assigned to it, but if we know Dumbo is 480 base price, so we got 480, and then let's say it's, you know, minimum 21 by multiplier, right? So that's going to make it 10, holy crap, 10,000 UPIX per UP square.
So,
okay. But it's going to be more than that. So even if it's, you know, something as little as 23, you're going to be like 11,000 per UP squared. So multiply by 10 is easy enough. That's 110,000.
For that 10.
For that little one.
Right.
Now let's talk about across the street, 45 Main Street. That's 528 up squared.
Yeah.
Gosh, 528. That's going to be almost 6 mil.
Yeah, at minimum, 6 million. So to answer your question, Sanika, so how it works is you take the, each neighborhood has a base price, and that's where you start the math with calculating the mint price. So you take the UP2 size and you multiply it by the base price. And in Dumbo, that number is 480. And then your collections all have a value as you go up from standard to limited, exclusive, rare, ultra rare. And the way that it scales is it starts at, you know, there's just a 1-to-1 for standard, so there's no change on the blue standards. The purple are you multiply by 1.5. Exclusives are 3 times. Rares are 11 times. Ultra rare
jump
is 21 times. So the fact that Main Street is an ultra rare, you just go right to that 21x. So it's 480 times 21 times the UP2 size. And then in this case, because it's also a rare, there's an added multiple in there that it's nothing crazy. It's not like multiply it now by 11 because it's a rare, but it is something like an additional 0.2 or 2. There, it's something. It's smaller, but it's an added multiple because it fits into two collections. It fits into the rare and to the ultra rare. And, it's going to end up causing Dumbo to be just in general a very expensive place to get into.
San Francisco's financial district.
Yeah, there will be some, you know, under six figure parcels there, maybe even under 100K. Because I think we found some 10 up square size parcels and 12s and 15s. And such, and those should be under 100K, but they're going to go fast. They'll be easily the first ones to be minted.
Oh yeah. I'm looking around. It's not bad. There's a fair number of small properties, so some people should get a chance pretty quick. You know, the little whales.
Right. Yeah. So that'll be exciting to watch unfold, and hopefully, we don't have very many micro forks.
Oh my gosh.
Which I guess.
Well, thankfully, they've told us in their last update that your UPIC should be refunded immediately. So at least you get it back. Who knows when the property will become available? We're still waiting on those sea cliffs.
Right. So, Sanika, I don't know if you were familiar with this, but it has to do with the EOS blockchain. And really, nothing on Upland side that is causing the what's called a micro fork. We explained it one of the earlier podcast episodes, but essentially it's just block producers not being in sync, or one not being fast enough, and the other one just decides to take what it has, and then it forks. And the result that you see in the game is the property will look like you minted it, but then it'll turn blue, like the light blue, like somebody else owns it, and it'll say not available. And that is your telltale sign that the property micro forked. And like BDAC just said, fortunately it refunds, which I can attest to. I actually had it happen after that announcement, and the UPIX was refunded relatively quickly, which is great, because in the past, it was a nightmare to have that happen. It is extremely frustrating, especially when you are in a land rush like everybody will be on Tuesday. So that's good.
Right.
Good to hear.
Right. So we do actually have an ultra rare street already. That's Wall Street over in Manhattan.
Oh, so, how could I forget that?
Yeah, right. But there's 24 properties there, and there's just six on this main street. It's going to be awesome to watch who gets Main Street when they do release them, which if they're giving these properties away, I think they'd be shortchanging themselves, actually. I think this is something that they should release later for minting if they want to make any sort of profit, if Upland wants to make any sort of profit on the game.
Yeah, or auction.
Yeah,
another reverse that too. Auction.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I think that would make the most sense, especially for those larger ones.
I have a follow-up question on the minting.
Sure.
So if it doesn't have a utility before, like when it first gets minted, such as Wall Street, so that would have a set mint price that it minted at. But then, like, if it later has a feature added to it, how does that? I guess that just affects the current price of it. But
yeah, it would. So with New York, with Manhattan, it opened in vanilla, which they are not doing for Brooklyn. So New York was released and none of the collections were announced, nothing. They were encrypted on the blockchain before anybody had the opportunity to mint anything. They were put on the blockchain, and then the cipher keys would be made available at a later point in time when they were revealed, so that you could go back and check and see that, yes, they said that, you know, this would be a collection. And so just so that to show there would be no bias or, you know, any funny business going on with what they decided the collections would be. So everybody minted Wall Street, you know, not knowing for sure. It was pretty obvious to everybody, or at least everybody wanted Wall Street, but they didn't know for certain that it was a collection. And thus the minting cost did not reflect the times 21 that it should have. I think that might be what you're asking. So they paid.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. They
that
paid
is what I was asking.
Yeah. They paid the pre collection reveal price. And so the place where you can really see that is in Soho. So Soho was like roughly, I would say 30-40% minted. And then they announced that it was a collection and exclusive. So all those, you know, the remaining 60-70% all got hit with a 3x multiplier on their mint price. So something that was 20k UPIX jumped to 60k UPIX, which was unminted 60,000 UPIX, but the property right next to it that was owned remained at 20, and they could be the exact same size parcel, and one would cost now 60,000 to mint new while the other one was owned, and be the same exact size but only minted for only 20,000. And there was a huge debate. I don't know what would we call it, BDAG. It was unexpected news to the community, and I feel like we didn't we didn't quite understand the game enough and flew off the hinges because we thought that Upland was changing the rules when in fact they weren't. They just...
Yeah, and actually, apparently, according to some of the old guards, this is how it worked in the beginning, that they had the opportunity to mint some properties before collections were dropped. So there are some financial districts in San Francisco that were purchased for the original non-11 buy price. But the thing that it does is that it also affects your dividends, because dividends are directly related to the minting price that you purchased a property for. So you go and you buy a financial district for 480 UPX per UP squared, and you're getting dividends based on that. Well, then suddenly the neighborhood gets a bump of 10 buy, and some of the properties got an 11 buy, or no, it was 11. Yeah, 10 buy and 11 buy for whatever reason. Now the dividends on those are going to be 10 times and 11 times higher. So these financial districts, if you know what you're looking for, do not have as much appeal, because the dividends they're going to pay are going to be much lower, because dividends are always paid off of the original mint price.
Right. And only the original mint price, which is just an important thing to learn early on. It doesn't matter how much you pay for a property in the secondary market. If you're concerned with dividends, it'll only ever be what the original mint price was. And so that said, being that Brooklyn is not being released in vanilla, there will be quite a few opportunities to really, if you have the UPX or the financial means to invest and really want to push your dividends high, you'll be able to do that in Dumbo.
Go Dumbo or go home, eh?
Yeah.
Move it a pocket.
Yeah, some of these larger parts. Yeah, go ahead.
So I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So if I mint it, basically assuming that my property is going to be in a future released collection, my dividends would be based on my minting price, even if the property next to me went up in minting price and they get paid higher dividends because the collection released later.
Correct.
So I would get fewer dividends because...
So
I was the first one to buy it.
Well, so the word it sounds like a negative, but the dividends are the same. Like it's the same 17% per year, right? Whatever it works out to be. Just the person next to you just paid more and thus are receiving more. But there's no difference in what the dividends are actually paying. You just got a cheaper property. And like this was part of the debate that was, that got the community so worked up then. And, some would say that, well, I want the more expensive property because I want the higher dividends. But the truth of the matter is, like, there aren't very many people that can even afford to buy four 11X rare properties. And so the opportunity for you to get that at the pre-release collection, that means you get to have a rare collection that you likely would have never been able to pay the $6,000-$8,000 USD for, if that's making sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So essentially the percentage goes up the same as the people who invest later, just they invested more money. So
correct.
Like the amount of money they're getting is more, but it's the same percentage wise.
Exactly.
So yes. It's like a flat rate.
Yes, correct.
Interest on your money.
Correct.
So it keeps the economy. It would kind of screw the economy if they changed it for the people who were there early.
Right. If they up the amount of dividends paid. Yeah, there was some talk about, hey, could I pay up my property to increase my dividends? But we haven't heard any positive whether that's going to be a thing or not.
That would be an interesting addition.
Yeah, for sure. That would keep the economy in check while still allowing people to get the maximum dividends for their property.
Right. All right. Let's keep this train moving here.
Let me do a quick rundown of the rest of them. I'm not going to name every single collection because you can go into the app and you can see that. You can see it in the browser as well. So most of these are neighborhood and streets. I mean, we're used to having some venue collections thrown in the mix, and a venue collection is one that has just spot properties that may or may not be related by a street or a neighborhood. So in San Francisco, that's like the curator collection, the museums, and we've got firefighters in Fresno. In Brooklyn, we only have one, and that's the police stations. And I don't know what that says about Brooklyn that they chose the police stations, but there we go. Everything else is street and neighborhood. Oh, no, I take that back. We have one city-specific collection, and that's, you know, we had the San Franciscan to start, and then we went into the New Yorker now.
Right, yeah.
And then they added the Fresnan or the Fresno just because, I guess, likely because they knew they were going to release the Brooklyn.
The Brooklyner, yeah.
The Brooklyner. So you get three properties, you get a Brooklyner. Everything is three properties except for the ultra rares, like we mentioned. Those are two each. Manhattan Beach is the curveball here. You got to have four Manhattan Beach properties.
Oh, wow.
Taking a quick look at this map. Manhattan Beach is a little small, so that's what goes and pushes Manhattan Beach up into the exclusive category, because there's not going to be quite as many collections to go around there, especially being smaller and requiring four properties.
And not only that, but having quite a few parcels that are likely going to fall into FSA eligibility. If you look at what they cost after you do the multiplier, Manhattan Beach is cheaper per up square than both Brooklyn Heights and Cobble Hill, which are limited collections. So that's and significantly cheaper per up square.
Yeah, go figure.
Like half is, you know, less than half. So that would be my advice to any listeners out there that are FSA players. I feel like your best value is in Manhattan Beach, because you will be able to likely mint quite a few parcels there for a very reasonable amount of upix for an exclusive New York collection.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The street collections are interesting. I don't know anything about Brooklyn other than Coney Island, so I don't know whether these streets really have any significance, but it's interesting to note that Fulton Street is in there. Well, we already got a Fulton Street collection in Fresno. Broadway's in there. Oh, yeah, I got a Broadway collection in Manhattan. Fifth Avenue is in here. Ooh, is that a harbinger of having a Fifth Avenue in Manhattan? I kind of think we're going to Park Avenue instead, but we could get both. However, Brooklyn's also going to give us Bay Parkway. Oh, there's the park right there. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen with these? There's a little bit of crossover between streets and neighborhoods, but honestly, not much. San Francisco was a much better, and Fresno were both much better for buying properties that could double duty on collections. And the big reason to do that is if you've got limited income, you'd want to buy properties on a street, on a collection street, in a collection neighborhood, because then you could get both collection bonuses, and then you just drop those properties into the higher earning collection and you're doing pretty good. But if you can afford to, you'll buy a set of each, and maybe a couple for a rainy day. So the Broadway collection only crosses over into Bushwick. That's it. So if you want to double up, there's a Broadway Bushwick you can go for. Fulton Street is pretty free and clear. It doesn't cross over into anything. Flatbush has just a little bit of touch up into Dumbo. I can see those properties getting snapped up immediately.
Right.
And like I mentioned earlier, Main Street is in Dumbo. That's it. That's right. All the crossover there is. It's pretty light. So you're going to be getting a bunch of properties if you want to get all your collections filled.
Right. So can you run down through those again, just one more time for our listeners?
Through all the overlaps?
Yeah, just the ones that there'll be an opportunity to summarize that.
So there's the Broadway Bushwick overlap. And honestly, as I mentioned, Broadway, we saw in Manhattan that Broadway also included East Broadway and West Broadway. I haven't dug in enough to see if we're going to have that same opportunity in Brooklyn. So we may actually end up finding another Broadway, like an East Broadway or Broadway Out or something, that would have the same street ID and therefore be eligible with a collection that may cross into another neighborhood. But for now, be looking at Broadway and Bushwick.
Okay.
And then we're also going to be looking at, if you can afford it, a little bitty tip of, Flatbush.
Flatbush and Dumbo, right?
Up into Dumbo.
Yeah.
And then Main Street and Dumbo, but Main Street's locked.
So yeah, right. It. So just those two there, those are our...
So everybody go for Broadway Bushwick.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm going to be floating Dumbo Flatbush.
Yeah, man. And hey, here's just an interesting thing to make note of. There is a Fulton Street in San Francisco, in Manhattan, in Fresno, and in Brooklyn. And in three out of those four, that Fulton Street property is a collection. In Manhattan, it falls in Financial District. And in Fresno...
Well, hey, oh,
and
you
in
think it could be a Manhattan, Brooklyn, eh?
It's a street collection. And in San Francisco, the possibility exists that it becomes a neighborhood collection, being that it runs through Panhandle. So that gives more of a reason to want to push that, because how cool would that be, having the four Fulton Street collection?
Yeah, double big bonus for flex points if you can get the same address on Fulton and all four cities.
Yeah.
Boom, go.
Cool, man. All right, so let's talk about some purchases that were made. Actually, let's ask Sanico. After you bought the train station, what else did you buy?
I mostly looked into buying for collections in New York, and then in San Francisco, I just tried to get something in all four corners for treasure hunting there.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking at your property list here. Yep, looks like you're all Manhattan, all San Francisco, and two Fresno, it looks like. So yeah, very good.
And Chinatown.
Yeah, that's a crowd favorite, man. They're really hoping that we hear shortly after Brooklyn releases, was when we were promised we will get, I guess it's a 3-day release of Manhattan collections, and Chinatown is a very popular favorite with the Upland community, hoping that Chinatown is a collection. I am completely sold at this point after seeing Dumbo being a rare neighborhood collection, that my horse Tribeca will, you know, pull through for me. But let's take a look at what sold at the top of the New York market in the last 7 days. So the top sale goes to Dizzy Dieske. He sold a 656 up square parcel in Hell's Kitchen. It minted for 387,000 upics, and he sold it to Hackfin for about 500K, just shy of it by 100 upics. That address was 555 West 57th Street. And these sales here, it's funny because we are not going to do the Fresno ones this week just because there's so much to talk about in New York. But I'm looking at these numbers here, and they rivaled Fresno. That's how crazy that those sales were.
Manhattan v. Fresno. Fresno keeps up.
Right. Yeah, man.
Crazy.
That's nuts. And then you won't believe this, but so the top five sales in Manhattan, you had Dizzy Dieske at top, and then Atomic Pop just clean swept the rest, right?
Jeez.
Yeah, man. Which is great. I love to see that, because those who are active in the Discord community know that Atomic Pop fell victim to human error, like we all are.
right.
are prone to. And
like we are, there you go. Not like we are, like we do.
yeah. And listed, unfortunately, a property for UPIX when it was pretty obvious that he meant to list it for USD as part of the fiat out beta. And it got, you know, I don't want to get into the philosophical differences between community members when in that regard, but unfortunately for him, it went to a player who would not return it for the, you know.
So what did he lose? What did he have it listed for?
It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was a Park Ave property that he listed for, I believe, 175. So he meant to list dollars and listed for 175 UPIX. And so that, I hate to bring that up and damper on this great news and sales, but you know, those things happen. And I implore Upland to read the feedback that I left in regards to how other NFT platforms handle below market listings. You know, they give a warning, they let you know you're about to do something that's abnormal. And I feel like, you know, it's long overdue that they implement something like that. You know, they don't have to account for the entire, you know, market and sales, you know, all the data out there. Just simply say
this mint.
Yeah, this minted for this amount and you're trying to sell it for less than that. And that's it. And then if the user continues through that, then there's not a whole lot there's to be said. But
not, you know, not user addict.
Right. Yeah. So the number two property was a Parkview Collection property, 24 Central Park Ave. So it looks like we have another power player coming in and buying up some crazy properties. Skip 720. This is the first time I saw this player's name, but he's appearing twice in the top five. He bought a Parkview off Atomic Pop for 489,000 UPIX. So that was a 10x flip for Atomic Pop. So good for him there. They also bought a Fifth Ave property, which is not a collection yet in Manhattan. We're hoping to hear later next week that it is. I know I certainly would be excited to hear that. I'm kind of expecting it.
Right.
It's an Upper East Side property that minted, well, he sold it, Atomic Pop sold it at an 8x, which is 805 Fifth Avenue, sold for 326,000 UPIX. And then the other two sales were 50 Vanderbilt Ave, which is a very interesting purchase. JC123 bought that. I didn't look at the timestamp, but I have a feeling that that was purchased shortly after or before Sanyika's purchase, because this parcel faces the MetLife building, which is like right next to Grand Central Station. The MetLife building is a landmark, if I'm not mistaken, so you can't mint it. And it's
That's right.
Yeah, it's catty corner almost to the train station. So that sold for 427,000 UPIX. Just a very interesting purchase. I would be willing to bet if I looked at the timestamp, like I said, it would coincide with the train station sale.
And I will note too, he's got it on sale. He turned around and listed it for 1.25 mil, which is probably a get out of here with your stupid offer price. But
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. Somebody could come and take it. February 24th. He's got a visit showing.
Oh,
which I don't know if that's from the, if that's from Atomic Pop or not.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say reset. That. Yeah. I thought so too. That's odd. So I'll have to look into that. And then the other sale that Atomic Pop, did he ask you if he could sell a Little Italy property?
I don't know if he did. I mean, it's not like we need permission, right? Or did he, you mean, did he at least, give us the privilege and the honor of first refusal?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm just joking. He sold a Little Italy for 8X, which is fantastic.
Thank you for keeping
that floor up there. That 190 Bowery, he sold a Paperhead. at 8X, which is fantastic. I'm just loving that. Anytime I see LINY, you know, that floor just continue to rise. And
oh yeah, that was the first collection they revealed too. It's kind of special in Manhattan.
Yeah, and yeah, very much so. So let's see, how are we doing on time? We're running a little short, so or long, we're short on time left.
All right, should we bust through the scouting report?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. So my scouting report for this week, I mean, I guess first and foremost, there's this guy who bought this train station. Have you heard of him?
No kidding. Huh. I'll be darned.
Yeah. Sanika was obviously on my scouting report before him and I started talking. I was absolutely going to include him. And so that obviously it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to talk about it now, but definitely love seeing this, you know, new excitement come in and, you know, just with lots of energy and great ideas and just great personality. And I'm super happy to see it, man. So welcome to Upland. We're really happy that you're here, man.
Kind of sounds like you almost make a song out of that. Welcome to Upland. Yeah, we're glad that you came. Your host, D. Davis.
Yeah. So my next one is, so his Discord name is Snufkin and his Upland name is Sir Snufkin. He came into the Discord server for the Publish OX contest. Did you submit for that, B-Dag?
I didn't. You know, I got some articles even like
on Publish OX
waiting to go, and I got too busy this week.
Yeah, so he wrote a review for Upland, entered that contest, and has just been a really positive, that's what usually will get you on this scouting report, because that's what the Upland community really is all about. Just the positivity, the upbeatness, the overall just great.
Like a family, yeah?
Yeah, and he came in with all of that right away. And then he wrote a second one. I haven't read it yet, but I know where to find it. But I think is a review blogger. That's what I put down in my notes as for what, likely how he found Upland. And then we got to talking in a DM about some of the other projects that are out there. And just very excited that we have a connoisseur of NFT projects here among us. Then my next one is Traverse, I believe.
Traverse.
So it's the same in Discord and Upland, thankfully. I know that
good job, guy.
He and his wife are both players in Upland. He started off without wanting to, he was trying to go the free to play route, and that's how him and I got into a dialogue, just through the new players channel, like I do, and just trying to help push them to Uplander through visits. And he decided that he was going to fiat in. So he started on the 25th, which was, I guess, roughly a week ago. And he told me that he fiat in some. So I took a look at his net and he's sitting at 70K, which is, that's pretty awesome. He's, ready to go for Brooklyn, you know, still.
FSA all right. Another eligible. Addict.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to Travis. We decided on, I'm going to have to ask him now how to pronounce that.
Does his wife know he fiat in? Did she fiat in?
I believe not. I know that she does. She is aware of it because we talked about that. But
yeah, that was kind of a joke.
Yeah,
kinda.
I don't think she did, but I will find out. And then my last one is Wilson Fisk. He is so he told me he was a UConner, and I didn't know what that meant. But apparently, UCon is a term for people from Alaska. Does that sound right to you, B-Dag?
You sure it's not from University of Connecticut?
It's spelt differently, but those are both.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danbury, I don't know,
maybe he's a grad student.
Yeah. No, UConn, Alaska, really crazy. Excited about NFTs and graphic design and really just, again, like with Snufkin, Sir Snufkin, just this really positive attitude and wanting to learn about NFTs and is a graphic design artist. He's got this really beautiful piece of work that he showed me that he designed for his visit raids, which, you know, we just love seeing that. And I just wanted to make sure that he got shouted out as well. So,
all right, go UConn.
Yeah.
So what I have else? Another quick
shout out.
I was just messaging Atomic Pop about what happened to him.
Yeah.
He luckily, Yad Lugar, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yad Lugar. Yeah.
Yeah, we know him.
Yad Lugar, he bought the property back and sold it back to Atomic Pop.
What?
So, wow. Property back. It's awesome. The community.
Yeah.
Big fat props.
Wow.
Yad Lugar.
Shout out Yad Lugar, man. Wow, dude. Tanika, thank you for looking into that, man. What an awesome way to end the show, man.
Boom. We're done.
Yeah, that's great. B-Dag, what else do you have?
I got nothing to add after that.
Yeah, we got to end on that. No, Sanika, anything more to add?
That's everything for me.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to send it back to you, Too Stupid. Thank you, listeners, and good luck in Brooklyn.
Hey.
Hey, thanks, fellas. That's an excellent episode. Very glad I got to listen to that and hear it first before everybody else. As always, you two put a lot of work in and an excellent job there. And don't forget to look for this week's episode. We do have a special guest. This is going to be a great episode. And we'll blow your mind who our special guest is. So it'll be pretty good. Very excited for that. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like, subscribe to the podcast, write a review if you're on Apple. I do see some of you guys doing that, so really much appreciate that. Continue writing those reviews if you have not done one yet. And we'll be talking to everyone soon. Be safe.
It's the Offix Podcast, baby. Glad you tuned in. Got your host, thank me later, and too stupid to win. Might become an obsession as soon as you begin. Start out king of the street, then lock in iconic in. Welcome to Offland. Grab your Offix, man. On your way in, the doll hit you with $4,000. Get to buying and gripping, then to selling and flipping. Over to moving and shucking. I'm Scrooge McDuckin'.